Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and we now leap into our national coverage and what's going on. We'll be covering many things, starting with what happened in Colorado with the attack at Planned Parenthood, and in covering more as well. But please do join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at talk@steinershow.org. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. You can log on to the Mark Steiner Show Facebook page, but do call in 410-319-8888. Remaining with us is Mark Steiner Show co-host and guest host Dr. Kimberly Moffitt, who's Associate Professor of American Studies at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, co-editor of Blackberries and Red Bones, Critical Articulations of Black Hair, Body Politics in Africana Communities. Phil Trahan is in the studio, who is political consultant and CEO of Phil Trahan Public Relations, LLC. Phil, good to have you back.
Happy to be here.
And Edward Wyckoff Williams is back with us once again, contributing editor to The Root, political contributor and special correspondent with Al Jazeera America, doing incredible work. Edward, welcome back.
It's a pleasure to be with you, buddy.
How are you?
Very good.
Good. Good to hear your voice. So let's begin. I do want to start with what happened in Colorado. And, you know, when we see yet another attack like this in our country, it's interesting to me how most of the media, Edward, will never use the word terrorist in an attack like this,
mm-hmm.
A. And B, the first thing to go to when these attacks take place is someone's mental illness.
Yes. And the Washington Post did a great piece that you guys sent me outlining exactly that, looking at the comments from people like Donald Trump. I think Carly Fioroni, I don't know how to say her last name, forgive me.
Fiorina.
And others who basically try to pass this off as yet another white man who's mentally disturbed, who's disconnected from the community. But this is a terrorist act. But I think what's more interesting about this, and I think you will agree, Mark, is that the rhetoric that has come from the far right about Planned Parenthood gave rise to this kind of event. This did not just happen willy-nilly. This man almost quoted the rhetoric that we hear from Fox News about butchered babies, this false impression of Planned Parenthood as being a place where babies are murdered is really something that has been fueled by conservatives in this country who are anti-abortionists. They fail to see that, I think, 99% of what Planned Parenthood does is provide medical services to poor and middle-income families. This is not about abortions, but the right has made it about abortions. And so when we see this kind of violence exacted upon an institution like that, they can't walk away without blood on their hands, for lack of a better term.
Phil, please leap in. We haven't seen you in a while. Good to have you here before we turn to Kimberly.
Certainly. Obviously, the man is mentally deranged. We have seen that CNN here has documented a couple of cases in the past two decades when this guy has done some really strange things. He's been accused of domestic assault. He's been charged with being a peeping Tom. He's been charged with animal cruelty. Obviously, this person is mentally deranged. If you see a photo of him, you can pretty much have that inclination that
isn't
he may
that
be
true
mentally
of all terrorists?
Deranged. But your argument is, let's just talk about the broader philosophical issue about abortion here. Let me ask you, if I may, when do you believe life begins?
That's not where we're going for this discussion.
No, we're not going to go there, Mark, because we're not going there, actually. Because we live in a country where the Supreme Court has said that there is a woman's right to choose. So it has nothing to do with my personal belief. We are talking about an act of terrorism, and you can run away from what the type of propaganda that Fox News and the Republican Party and these particular presidential candidates on the GOP side are putting out. But you have got to recognize that there is truth to the argument and the statements that I made, and it's simple as that.
Yeah, I would agree, because I want to say it's always when it is a white male that takes out or carries out a violent act like this. They are always given to us as lone wolves who have some issue with mental illness. Mm-hmm. And it's only people of color who tend to be pathologically violent.
Yeah.
We aren't given that space to be someone who might also be a lone wolf that has these mental illnesses. And so that's where I think the rhetoric in terms of how the media continues to portray these issues is problematic. Not the specific issue about abortion or gun control or whatever the issue may be, but the issue of how the media chooses to construct a narrative that, again, positions and privileges one group of people and immediately at the same time denigrates an entire group of people.
And I'm really glad that you went there, because we are people who work in the media. And so I, as a television producer, understand that the vast majority, I would say as much as 90% of the producers in television are white, and they are mostly male. And so when you look at the types of stories that are being put out, you have to consider the source of those stories. They are being articulated by people who see in themselves these perpetrators, right? And so they don't want to demonize them. If they're seeing others, then they are more than happy to otherize those people. And I think that we really have to consider how we talk about criminality, terrorism, when it is conducted by white males in this country.
Phil, go ahead.
You mentioned that abortion is the law of the land due to a Supreme Court decision. So I'm assuming that you're saying that whatever Supreme Court says is final and it's infallible. Am I correct?
I'm not saying it's infallible, but it is the law of the land, correct?
Right. It is the law of the land, but does
it... We're not talking about the Pope. When you use the words infallible, you're almost speaking in religious language. We're not talking about Jesus Christ here. We are not talking about the Prophet Muhammad. We are talking about the law of these United States of America. That's what we're talking about. Abortion is legal in this country. No matter what conservatives want us to believe, that God we trust, and that everybody is supposed to be guided by some sort of religious principle when it comes to abortion, that is not the case. This is a civil country with civil laws.
However, based on that line of reasoning, you could point out a number of Supreme Court cases throughout the history of America.
We're talking about terrorism at a Planned Parenthood.
Plessy versus Ferguson used to be law of the land that mandated that.
We're talking about an act of terrorism at the Planned Parenthood facility. Can you focus on that?
But I can focus on that as long as opponents do not try to use this issue to demonize a whole swath of Americans who legitimately and sincerely believe in protecting life from natural conception.
And the whole loss of those Americans, of the deranged white males that you described in your first statement in response to what I had said. So you want to protect the rights of deranged,
I do not.
Mentally ill white people
who want to exact acts
of terror against Planned Parenthood facilities. You're going on record saying that.
I don't
absolutely
that.
Not.
I didn't say that.
This is what you...
That's what you're going on record
absolutely
saying.
Absolutely not. You are absolutely lying about what I am saying here. I am trying.
Please articulate.
I am trying to defend a viewpoint sincerely held by a large number of peaceful Americans that life begins at natural conception.
I don't think what happened
and deserves protection.
But you are using
one action by a deranged man who deserves to be locked up in prison to demonize an entire group of Americans who sincerely and peacefully hold these beliefs.
I would love to hear what you have to say.
So let me just jump in here. I don't want this to get derailed completely that way. I mean, I think that, but I hear what you're saying, Phil. And let's talk about this for a moment. I mean, when we look at the issue of terrorism in America, and folks, join us with your thoughts at 410-319-8888. I want to hear them. And I think the rest of the community wants to hear them as well with our panelists. When you look at terrorist acts that have been committed in this country over the last 30 years, over the last 15 years since 9/11, but over the last 30 years in this country, most of them have been committed by white people, white men in particular, who also are evangelicals, who are on the far right. Now, having said that, What does that say to us? Does that say that? And I, you know, like I'm married to a woman who came from a very conservative family. She's not a conservative, but comes from a very conservative family. We have neighbors who are very conservative people who live around us. Some of them, they're not going to walk into Planned Parenthood and mow down people because they think abortion is wrong. But you know what I'm saying? So I mean, so this is. But let's deal with the reality of what we're facing here and what is happening here in our country, Kimberly, that allows this to take place, and has created this divide in our country, but also has created a place that kind of doesn't justify, but always makes excuses for the terrorism amidst, and I call it terrorism.
Yeah, and that's what is problematic with, again, story after story such as this, right? So Dylann Roof was not a terrorist. He was just another lone wolf who was, you know, mentally challenged in some way and carrying out a racist act. But that is an individual. But yet, as soon as something happens in terms of it being a brown body in particular, I'm speaking of those who are of Muslim faith, who are extremists and carry out particular acts, we immediately vilify an entire group of people. And so I'm not interested in arguing about the stance on abortion or even gun control, any of those issues. My issue is, in terms as a media studies scholar, the way in which we construct these narratives always vilify certain groups of people, and somehow, even in the midst of chaos and the midst of violence and damage that is done by an individual, we still find a way to reify white males in particular who carry out such violent acts and do not see them as terrorists.
So the question is, and let me just make a little murkier for a moment, if I try here.
Sure.
I'm thinking about what Phil just said. All right. When I was a young man in the 1960s and in the Civil Rights Movement, we broke laws to break the back of segregation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There are some people among us who got so frustrated with the war in Vietnam and what was happening about race in America that they took to armed violence, robbing banks, blowing up buildings, and more. And viscerally, when that happened, especially when it didn't take human life, I went, yeah, we got to make a statement, but I was separated from the group that did the violent acts. If I was living in the 1850s, I hope I would have ridden with John Brown.
And, you know, I was about to mention John Brown.
But so I hope I would have been one of those who said I support what John Brown is doing. And yes, take over Harper's Ferry and let's create a war to end slavery in this country. I think I would be part of that. I would hope I would have been part of that in the 19th century. Let's take 21st century.
Okay.
And what you all think about the arguments that I think Phil Tran's trying to make, and I'll let you make the argument, and others are making in this society, that's the situation they feel themselves in. I'm working it up on purpose. I want us to wrestle with this for a moment in a deeper sense. What do we think about that? Edward, you can start. Phil, go ahead.
Okay.
Then we can start. Phil, then I'll go to Edward, and then to Kimberly. Then we're going to open the phones.
Okay. I just want to make it absolutely clear for the record that I'm not defending the gunman in this heinous case, period. What I'm trying to talk about is in broader philosophical terms. Martin Luther King Jr. said that an unjust law is not a law at all. I think I'm paraphrasing right there. And if we see injustice in America, it is on us to fix that injustice.
Do you mean when he...
Let him finish.
Oh, okay.
So as Mark just mentioned about John Brown, in America, slavery used to be legal, and there were several Supreme Court cases in the antebellum period of America that reinforced slavery as the law of the land. Some people would make the argument back in the 1850s that the Supreme Court has stated their viewpoint on this matter. Slavery is the law of the land. Let's move on. Let's talk about other issues. And then there are other people who looked at slavery, and then they tried to reconcile it with the concept of all men being equal in America, and they could not. And they said that this is injustice, this is a crime, we need to solve this problem. They tried to do it through the legislative process, they tried to do it civilly, through protest, through activism. Some people even went to extremes, like John Brown, who tried to foment armed insurrection. That's against the issue of slavery in the antebellum period in the Civil War. Mark also mentioned about the 1960s was all the upheaval that was going on. Well, shoot, let's talk about Bill Ayers. Bill Ayers, who's now an academician, back in the 1960s, was part of an organization, I believe, was called Weather Report.
The Weather Underground.
The Weather Underground, yes. And they participated in some violent acts in order to have their message heard. Now,
I will say
once again, I reiterate that this gunman is absolutely deranged, mentally unstable. All the signs are there. But unfortunately, what we're seeing is that opponents are trying to use this lone instance of one deranged gunman to silence an entire opposition of peaceful Americans who legitimately have concerns about what is currently the law of the land. They legitimately feel it is unjust, they've been working since 1973 to advance their cause.
So let me back to our guests, the other guests here, 410, and get to the phones here. So Edward, you can come in now, but I will say that that one of the things about this case, it's not just one person, because if you look
at their whole group,
because we've seen 8 people murdered in our abortion clinics before this. We've seen dozens of attacks, thousands of threats, physical assaults.
And
so it's not, this is not a lone act.
There are actual organizations committed to this kind of, I would say, not violence, but antagonism against these organizations, right, that then sparks violence. So anytime you have organized groups that stand outside abortion clinics and they are antagonizing the young women who go into those clinics and they are holding signs, they are creating an environment in which this kind of violence can then be propagated.
Well,
right?
if the people standing outside the abortion clinics protesting, how is that any different from anti-war protesters?
I
didn't claim that it is any different from anti-war protesters, but what happens in that scenario is that it then gives rise or it creates an environment in which violence can occur. And I think when you have the rhetoric from political candidates, from so-called legitimate news networks that then fuel that, particularly among people who are, as you yourself said, mentally disturbed, then this is all the more probable to happen. But, Mark, I want to get back to something that you touched on, and it reminded me of the statements from Donald Trump, Ben Carson, and the others, who basically said, yes, he's mentally disturbed. I think that's what Donald Trump said. And then Ben Carson said, let me just get this right. Ben Carson said that he decried, quote-unquote, extremism on both sides. This is, I think, the problem in these kinds of conversations, is that we try to give credence to the crazy. We somehow try to justify what is unjustifiable, and that's what's happening here with I don't remember the name of the man who's on with me right now.
Phil Tran.
So this idea that we have to get into the mind of a madman and then somehow justify his actions is beyond crazy. And I
never was justifying his actions.
I won't engage in that kind of debate.
I never was at justifying his actions.
Okay, I do want to open the phones here. Kimberly, do you have a thought here before you open the phones? 410-319. Are you finished, Edward?
Oh, yeah, I'm done.
410-319-8888. Donna, you're on the air. Welcome.
How you doing?
Very well. Good morning.
One point is the African-American community are more pro-life than people think. But we don't interfere in the rights of other people. Second point I want to make is pro-life is in other countries there's really no abortion and women have no rights at all. So I hear pro-life is talking about the abortion clinics and babies, but they're actually, and in my opinion, they're actually against women. Period. Because, this same type, the same atrocities that are happening in this country are happening against women across the world where abortion doesn't even exist. So it is an atrocity against women. And I think that the white male population is going to have to start taking ownership to the problems and the issues that they are going through and the browning of America, as well as women rising to power. I mean, it's an issue that I think white males are not talking about, and they're being aggressively acting out. And this is one example. What about the children in Connecticut were shot down in the school by that young man?
Right.
Where were the pro-lifers in that respect? They killed innocent children. What about women who abandoned their babies or killed their babies? I mean, we got to look at it from a whole picture and set the where conception starts and whatever. So that's the point I wanted to make, and I wanted to hear from you guys.
Thank you. A very powerful point. Kimberly, you want to?
I just want to echo Donna's sentiments.
I think that very quickly, but we have a lot of calls. I need
yes,
to get these
calls. Okay. I believe in protecting life from natural conception to natural death. Therefore, I am pro-life. I am pro-family. I'm also anti-war and anti-death penalty. I believe in a seamless ethic of life, and I believe that many Americans do share much of the same sentiments. And we work tirelessly to protect life in all forms.
So, and I think what Donna raises is an issue, too, that misogyny does run deep in this world. But I think in most of the Western world, places like Cuba, most of Western Europe, most of Europe, period, South Africa and other places, that people are aghast that we argue about women's right to choose. And in the countries like Sweden, Denmark, Holland, and other places, abortions are very low per capita. Part of the reason is they have education about contraception, about how not to get pregnant in the first place. Not kind of we have in this country kind of, I think, of a very religious underpinning that has built this country that says, you know, sex is terrible before marriage. We shouldn't be giving condoms to young people. That's part of our problem, that we don't accept reality.
Well, you're also talking about European nations that are also very supportive of women with children on the other side after the children arrive. And so even in that context, you're talking about nations that have a clear sense of being committed to life, being committed to family, and believe that that carries on not just through that 10 months of pregnancy, but actually carries on beyond the pregnancy by giving the woman space and time, as well as assistance to be able to thrive and do well as a parent.
Let me jump back to the phone show. 410-319-8888. Let's go to James, line 4.
Hello?
Hey, Jim, you're on the air.
Thanks a lot. I'd just like to say that the people who are against abortion are making an atmosphere that allows this murder and terror to take place. They stand outside and curse the women and call them murderers and set a whole hateful atmosphere against these poor women who are trying to get an abortion. And when individuals come forward and carry out the actions that they really secretly are supporting, because this isn't the first time that Planned Parenthood has been attacked. Planned Parenthood has been bombed, hate literature given out, people going in and shoot them up. This is going on all over, and it's coming out of a propaganda war that these people are taking part in against women.
Jim, I appreciate the call. Let me get on the call in here and read this text we got, and then I'm going to let you all jump back into it. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Nick in Crofton. You're on the air.
You know, Mark, every time I come on the air, I always have to credit you and your guests because I don't think a lot of discussions like this and this depth are going on, not enough in America. I wrote down the word Puritan.
That's the word I could not think. It would not come in my head, but you said it. Thank you. Yes.
And another phrase of evangelical Christian. Mm-hmm. Because I think these discussions need to be had. Sometimes we kind of gloss over the fact that driving this kind of you will conform, I got a set of rules, and even if one of your guests said, you know, this is constitutional law, even if it is constitutional law that we disagree with, we're gonna make our point of view. I really think, I watched this movement, this evangelical / Republican movement in America. It is not just, you're going to do what I say to do. And how about this, for all your panel, Do you ever hear this from Ted Cruz? I condemn strongly. You don't hear those words. You hear his denouncement of President Obama and all of his policies. And then at the end, you might hear, it's wrong what he did. And then back to denouncing anything that's President Obama or a Democrat. It's almost like such a light denouncement of the worst kinds of violence. And let me ask you one. I commend that guy that you have on, Mark, the Republican person that you have on, because I think too few a settings that we have that someone is willing to come on. And I've heard him before, and I appreciate that. I appreciate this kind of discourse and discussion.
Thank you.
Let me ask this, and hopefully this is kind of sparks, and this is my last point, Mark. Why is Timothy McVeigh, why was he a Republican, the Oklahoma City bomber? Why was the person that wrote the Walker Manifesto, who spurred him on, I guess, and this is some kind of book that says this race riot is what they want to do, this far-right Republican, why are they part of the same party you're part of, sir? Why?
Well, why was Che Guevara communist? He killed a lot of people to advance his ideology as well. We have crazy people who are hell-bent on destruction in order to advance their ideology, whatever it is.
That's to defend it. Nick, we have to go back to our guest here for a moment, but let me defend historical perspective. Che Guevara didn't kill masses of people.
Right.
You may not agree with his politics, but he didn't kill masses of people. I think that when you mentioned Bill Ayers earlier, I mean, he also – the one thing about the weather underground did, they did blow up buildings across this country, symbolic buildings like the men's bathroom.
And we also called him a terrorist.
And we also called him a terrorist. But that never killed anybody either. I mean, that's, I think,
and Mark,
those are important points.
What you're having to do right now is basically reflective of the kind of ignorance that we see from the right. This making up of facts, this complete disconnect from the truth. And I think that your guest, with all due respect, is really reflective of that kind of ignorance from the right. And it's problematic in areas like this. We are having a serious discussion about the lives of people and families, and we are talking about terrorist actions that take lives. This is not a time to play with the facts. This is a time to be fully informed and to inform the public as well. And I think that it's beneath us to reduce the conversation to silliness and out of touch pseudo facts.
Once again, I reiterate that I am in no way, shape, or form defending the criminal and terroristic actions of the person who shot up Planned Parenthood in Colorado. At the same time, however, when I'm talking in a broader philosophical perspective, don't you believe that when you're talking about protecting life, don't you believe that unborn children deserve to have their lives protected?
Are you a supporter of the Black Lives Matter movement?
I am very sympathetic to their concerns, many of which are very much legitimate.
So I think there's the divide here is just so virulently deep in this country, and in this country more than any other country I know on the planet, I think because of our puritanical history on some levels. But it's very real, and I if I said in these discussions before, and I can't not be clear about it because I have to be clear about it, or it would be unfair, as I said to the guests in the last panel, is that I would stand there in front of a Planned Parenthood and defend them with whatever I have from being attacked, to protect them from assault or assaulting my daughters or anybody I cared about who were going to Planned Parenthood for whatever reason, to get an abortion or to get birth control pills or to get an OBGYN exam, to defend them. Because I think that what we've gotten to a point now is that the violence we've allowed to occur at Planned Parenthood is just unacceptable. And no more than you would say it's okay for someone to come in with a gun and shoot down all of Donald Trump's supporters in his rallies because you think what they're doing is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, none of us would stand up, unlike Ted Cruz, who will not condemn this at all, but trying to paint this guy as a transgender leftist activist where there's kind of no proof to that. Don Palmer has written in, your guest Phil is certainly entitled to his opinions and conception. even if it is against all scientific evidence, but his vision of this unjust law is that he gets to impose his laws on others and try to make an equivalent to slavery is specious at best, writes in a listener, Don Palmer. Phones, then kind of get some more thoughts here from our guests. 410-319-8888. Wayne, you've been holding on the longest. You're on the air. Welcome.
How you doing?
Very good.
Okay, yeah, my point is this right-wing rhetoric that comes across the communications arm of the Republican Party, Fox News and things of that nature, it is the same kind of rhetoric that came down in Israel when Rabin made a deal with Arafat, and all of a sudden Rabin was this terrible guy, and the right wing rhetoric came down, and they murdered the guy in the park within months of all this rhetoric coming down. And the results of that have been catastrophic. First we had Sharon, now we had Netanyahu.
Okay.
And it's the same kind of rhetoric that's going on with the abortion people. They villainize anybody that has anything to do with the abortion.
All right, we're almost out of time here. I want to get our panel a chance to come back in and try to get some other callers in. Kimberly?
I think one of the points that I do want to make sure is clear is that I think Phil is arguing a point that his perspective should be heard and given the space to be heard in these types of conversations. And I would wholeheartedly affirm that, because I think that is important that we are hearing both sides. It's the only way that you can be the critical thinker that you
certainly
claim to be. I just think that when we take the action where things become violent, violent and innocent lives are then at the hands of someone else, that's when we have to raise questions about how these conversations are taking place and what are the outcomes of those conversations. And again, I make the point that, you know, if we're going to have the conversations about who we can label as terrorists because of some of the actions they take and the stances they are offering, then we also need to recognize that terrorists can also prevail and carry over to other groups of people who may not be as brown as I am.
I would like to share a perspective that will make you go and think about a few things. In the pro-life movement, and once again I have to reiterate so that we're absolutely clear, no one is condoning the violence that happened at Planned Parenthood in Colorado. But when we're talking philosophically, there are people who believe that currently violence is being perpetrated against unborn babies, and it's legalized in America, and that's unjust. Someone asked me if I am a supporter of the Black Lives Matter movement. I am very, very much sympathetic to many of the concerns and legitimate grievances of the Black Lives Matter movement. Here's something to think about when we talk about the intersection of the Black Lives Matter movement and abortion rights. According to the Centers for Disease Control, between 2007 and 2010, black babies consisted of 36% of aborted babies.
Abortions. Right. There's a real scientific debate. Not everybody agrees with your thesis that a child in womb, in uterus, at those early stages is a baby. You keep using that very pejorative kind of word for people to kind of wrestle with, but it's really kind of, many people don't accept that kind of that particular.
Let's assume that that debate is still going on.
It is going on.
A fetus still displays many signs of life. It has a heart that beats. It responds to stimuli. It needs to be fed. It functions.
We have to move on.
We're almost out of time. We literally have less than 2 minutes left. And I want to, if I can seek in a caller, I will. But I'm going to get some closing thoughts here. That was Phil. Kimberly, quick closing thought.
I've already done.
Edward?
You know, I don't like the idea of trying to goat African Americans into being anti-abortion by claiming that more African Americans or a disproportionate of African Americans are aborted. People make a choice to abort for many different reasons. Sometimes the life of the mother, sometimes the age of the child, i.e., you know, 13, 14-year-old girls getting pregnant, and sometimes because people simply can't afford the child. Other times in rape. And I think that it does those women a disservice to invade the privacy of their minds and hearts and bodies for us to talk about it the way Phil wants us to, philosophically. This is something beyond philosophy. This is real life. These are real choices. And women have the right and dignity in this country for their choices to be respected. And I stand for that. Mark stands for that. And I hope every good-hearted American will stand for that. And what we saw in Colorado,
Edward,
is a violent act of terrorism.
I'm sure we're just really out of time. But this is really an intense conversation, and the phones are still jammed. I'm sorry I could not get to all of our callers or the more who just called in, so my apologies for that as well. Edward Wyckoff Williams, special correspondent with Al Jazeera America and contributing editor at Root, Phil Tran, CEO of Phil Tran Public Relations LLC, Dr. Kimberly Moffitt, Associate Professor of American Studies at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, co-editor of Blackberries and Red Bones, Critical Articulations of Black Hair, Body Politics, and Africana Communities. Thank three of you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
And all of you writing in and calling in with your ideas.
Yes.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineers, Andre Melton. Our interns are Sianna Grease, Manifa Wilson, and Calvin Perry, who's with us today. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org, to podcast the Mark Steiner Show, share it with your friends, visit us on the web at steinershow.org, or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.